If you look at Jesus' life, let me show you in Luke's Gospel chapter 2 a few things about what made him pleasing to the Father. There's very little written about his life in those first 30 years, but the few things that are written, we can learn something. In Luke chapter 2, you know, he was 12 years old and he went to the temple. We read in Luke 2:42, he became 12 and he went to the feast. And when Joseph and Mary were returning, he stayed behind in Jerusalem. He stayed behind while all the other boys were, I don't know, playing around. He stayed behind. It was his choice. But his parents were unaware of it. And the parents found him after 3 days, verse 46. You know, they had traveled quite a bit of time, maybe more than a day they had traveled, and they suddenly looked for him and didn't find him. They were all traveling as a community of a whole lot of people, like going for a conference, a whole group of people. And they assumed, even for 36 hours, they assumed he must be somewhere else with one of the other boys. And it's only after 36 hours they discovered, hey, he's not here. And they walked back for 36 hours and discovered that Jesus was in the temple. This shows us one thing, that it took a long time for them to walk from Nazareth to Jerusalem. Remember that whenever you read in the Bible that Jesus walked from Galilee to Jerusalem, that wasn't a couple of hours, it was 1.5 days at least. But these folks walked 1.5 days and 1.5 days back. So little things like this show us how Jesus lived. Anyway, when they came to the temple, they found him, verse 46, in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions, and all who heard him were amazed. First of all, at his understanding of Scripture and his answers. So, the first thing I learn about Jesus' life, which made him pleasing to the Father, was that he had a tremendous knowledge of Scripture, even though he didn't have a Bible at home. You want to be pleasing to the Father? You know, that's the first thing we read about Jesus in his life. And that is something that every one of us can do, because we have more than Jesus had. We have the Bible in our own language. Whereas if Jesus wanted to read the Bible, he had to go to the local synagogue in Nazareth and ask the rabbi to turn the scroll and read one chapter to him, and he had to put it all in his memory. Maybe ask him, Rabbi, can you please read that again? Or read that verse again. Read that. Please read that again. And he couldn't read too much because then he'd forget it. And just read a little bit and think about that and then go home and think about it and maybe come back the next day. Say, Rabbi, can you turn it to the next chapter? And please read a little more. And the rabbi must have been delighted, because I don't know how many boys would have come to him like that. 9, 10-year-old boys coming and asking him to read the Bible to them. It challenges me that a young 10-year-old boy would go to someone and say, can you please read? I don't have a Bible at home. Can you please read the Bible for me? Just one chapter or a little bit. And then that's enough. Can I come back tomorrow? Will you read something more to me? You know, like some illiterate boy who can't read or write, going to someone and asking him to read the Bible. Boy, I say, Lord, would I be like that? Do I love you enough to take the trouble to spend a little time, cut down some of my other activities in a day, just to travel all the way somewhere to somebody's house, in his case to the synagogue, and get someone to read the Bible, because I'm illiterate, and just to memorize it, to think about it during the day, so that I come back, maybe come back next day and say, Rabbi, can you please read that to me again? I forgot a little bit about what I read yesterday. This is the way Jesus studied the Bible. I don't know when he started, maybe at the age of 5. Because it doesn't, you can't know Scripture so well in 1 or 2 years. It takes years. And he went and he came back and he went and came back, and meditated and meditated, and by the time he was 12 years old, all these scholars, he was sitting, it says, in the midst of teachers, in the midst of Bible teachers, and he was asking them questions which foxed them. And when they said, "No, we think it's like that," Jesus would say, "Hey, this is what that verse means." And they'd be amazed. They'd say, "Boy, oh, we never thought of that. But now we can see that that's right." And they're amazed that this 12-year-old boy is giving an explanation to a verse which these guys have been studying for 30, 40 years. So it shows it's not a question of how long you study. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And the Bible has been given to us so that we can see God. And in order to see God, you don't need a clever mind. You need a pure heart. "Blessed are the pure in heart." When they open the Bible, they don't get a doctrine. They see God. They see Jesus. And that's possible for everyone else. Are you a mother with many children? No time to go outside the house? Always busy? You can be like Jesus. You can be pleasing to the Father just because you take a little time to read the Scriptures. It doesn't have to be early in the morning. I remember my wife could never read the Bible early in the morning when we had little children at home. It was only late at night after the children went to sleep. It does require a little sacrifice, that's true. I mean, if you're not willing to sacrifice time to study the Bible, you'll never know it. It all depends on how much interest you have. You know, when people say, "I don't have time because I'm so busy." What if your child was sick and admitted in the hospital? Would you suddenly make time to go and see your child in the hospital? Spend 2-3 hours a day just to do that? See, what we want to do, we can always make time for. It's what you don't want to do that you find some excuse, "I'm very busy." I've had people in CFC, some of them not here now, who said, "Brother, my work is so much, I don't find time to read the Bible every day." Okay. I'm not surprised when such people drop away finally. Not at all surprised. So remember this. If you want the Father one day to say to you, "This is my beloved child, in whom I'm well pleased," I'll tell you where to begin. Make a little sacrifice every day to study the Scriptures. And say, "Lord, I want to see you here in the Scriptures. I don't want to just get a..." Jesus certainly wasn't studying to prepare a sermon or to prepare something to share at the next Wednesday meeting. No, he was not at all doing that. We don't study the Bible in order to share with other people. No. We study the Bible to see Jesus, to know God. And if that's our goal, there's amazing things that the Lord will show to us, even in ordinary Scriptures. When you read something, the Bible says, "Blessed are those who meditate on the day of the word of the Lord." And in the New Testament, who seek for the revelation of the Holy Spirit on the word of God. I'll just give you one example. For example, this verse that we just read. I mean, you've read it many times, that Jesus, when he was 12 years old, stood in the midst of teachers and they were amazed at his understanding. But have you ever thought, meditated on a little and asked the Lord how that happened and how that can apply in your life? And that's all I did. I mean, I didn't do anything more than you. I didn't read anything more than you, but I stopped there and I said, "Lord, how can that apply in my life?" Then I realized that he took pains to study the Scriptures. And that's what made the Father one day say, "It's my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." If a father, for example, writes a long letter to his son who's far away, and after a couple of weeks or a month, the father says, "Hey son, did you read my letter?" And the son says, "Well, I didn't get time, Dad. Or I read one or two sentences in it." Do you think that son is a very devoted son of his father? If he's really a devoted son and he knows the Father's given a lot of good instructions in it, he'd read it as soon as he gets it. It's one of the first things I decided when I got converted. Before I was converted at 19 and a half, I had not read the Bible. I'd go to church and hear the stories, but I'd never read through it. And I said, okay, first thing I must do, I must read through this, which is God's Word, the only book God has written. And I read through it in 6 months. It's the midst of my work. In the middle of my work, I took a little time every morning and whenever I got spare time. And I finished the whole Bible in 6 months. Now, I know you can do it. I didn't understand everything, naturally, because I was newly converted. But I decided then, I didn't know all this, that Jesus was like this and all, but somehow the Bible says, as a newborn babe cries for milk, we, if you're really born again, you cry for the Word of God, it says in 1 Peter 2. You don't teach a child to cry for milk. It's automatic. If it's a healthy child, it will cry for milk. If it doesn't cry for milk, it's a sick child. And every truly born-again person who is a healthy child will want to know the Word of God. And if you, a person who says he's born again and does not want to know the Word of God is a sick person, without a doubt. There are a lot of sick people around who say they are born again. So that's the first thing. And I see there that Jesus, the reason why he could answer people, those teachers, was because he didn't just read the scriptures. When the rabbi, as a little boy, when he was 7 or 8 years old, and the rabbi read the scripture to him in the synagogue, he thought about it. And he went home and thought about it. And that's what we must do with the scriptures. Lord, what is there in it? What is the meaning of this? And if teachers who are 60, 70 years old can learn from a 12-year-old, that's because the 60, 70 years old, I'm sure they were clever people. Jews are usually all very clever. They read and understood it, but they hadn't revelation. Jesus had revelation because his heart was pure.